Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Caporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. His Honor, Judge David Guyton, is with us today, and my first burning question is, who's going to be the first person to get to the barbershop? Is it going to be the judge, or is it going to be the broadcaster? What do you think?
I think it'll be the judge. I'll issue an injunction against you so that I can get there first.
I think we're all ready for the governor to lift his order on barbershops and salons and all that kind of stuff, because everybody I talk to has got the same shaggy look that you and I have.
I'm glad we're on the radio and not on the TV.
All right, so my second burning question for you is, how does a judge hold court when there is no court to hold it in?
Well, we have actually never stopped holding court for family court here in York County. And the way things worked out for us is we were in the old courthouse right up through Friday, March the 13th. We held court that morning, and then we started the process of moving into the new courthouse. Worked very hard that day, all weekend long, clerk of court's office, sheriff's department, everybody. We got into court and started Monday, March the 16th. We got through a half a day in our brand new courthouse. Then we got notice from the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of South Carolina that all family court statewide would stop except for emergency cases. And so we stopped court that day. But since then, just about every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we have been able to hold emergency cases.
There's that many of them.
There are, because unfortunately, child abuse, domestic abuse, juvenile crime, those things don't stop just because of a virus.
Have you seen a spike in all of this because everybody is shuttered in together and we don't have kids in school and moms and dads are out of work?
I haven't really seen a spike as a result. I think it's been about the same. It's hard to tell because some of our cases are getting handled through some consent orders. Juvenile detention, for example, for kids who've gotten into trouble. If our solicitors and public defenders and Department of Juvenile Justice can agree on how to handle a young man or woman, then they can do it through a consent order submitted to me so that we don't have to go on the record. And they work really hard to make that happen.
So the governor got on the airwaves yesterday afternoon, and we're all hoping, what's going to be the new number of announcements he's going to make? And he didn't make any, except to say, I might have something to say before the end of this week. Hopefully it'll be a barbershop for you and me. But what about you? Are you all have you got any clearance yet at all to get back to a normal schedule?
In fact, we have. We, just this past Monday, we started going back to a somewhat normal court docket. And we are taking non-emergency cases. We're bringing people to court, not forcing them to, and we don't want anybody coming that might have been exposed or have any symptoms. But we are able to handle court cases now, and so we've had, through tomorrow, we'll have had a week of semi-normal court.
Semi-normal.
Well, we can't handle as much as we normally would, so we're doing a few things. We're staggering our cases so that you don't have one going every 15 minutes. It's just too quick, and people would be too close as you go back and forth from a courtroom. So we're reducing the number of cases in any given day. And, of course, as you're coming in the courthouse, spacing is appropriate. And this brand-new courthouse with the space that we have has allowed us to continue to have court and to transition back to court a little easier. If we were in the old courthouse, I don't know that we could be doing what we are now because of the lack of space and the lack of security.
That old court facility that you have, I think I told you just a few minutes ago before we went on the air, your deputy clerk, Lisa Simmons, took me through a tour of that just before they kicked off the bond referendum a couple of years ago. And I could not believe how you functioned in there. The thing that struck me the most, besides the size of her office, which I could not even sit down in if she was there, was how close in proximity disgruntled husbands and wives were in the main hallway there. I mean, they literally were as close as you and I are here. I'm surprised you didn't have some major issues right there. You may have had. I don't know.
But we have had, and we've seen some pretty good fights in the waiting area, unfortunately. Bringing people in and out from Moss Detention Center, things like that, were difficult. But Manning, I tell you, I definitely want today to express my appreciation to County Council and the voters of York County for having passed the referendum that allowed us to have this new courthouse. I hope that people, if you have not already, will drive down Highway 5 West Main and see it, and it is as nice on the inside and as practical as it is beautiful on the outside.
Well, let me go one step further. Yesterday on Straight Talk, I had Trish Startup, who's a public information officer for the county, Chuck Haynes, who is your emergency preparedness coordinator, and the comment that I made to them when we got into this discussion was, public buildings say a lot about who we are as a community. And I would echo your sentiments 100%. I'm sorry it took this long for us to get rid of the old administration building and to get rid of those totally inadequate, not very attractive, matter of fact, they weren't attractive at all, facilities that you all were operating out of. And to see the new administration building in York, which is absolutely beautiful, and the family court building. My golly day. I think my friend Lisa must have had some hand in that thing, because it looks, it is very, I saw your old chambers when I got a tour of the old Cow Palace, but what you've got now, I mean, it's as fine as anything I've ever seen.
I would say it is the finest standalone family courthouse in the state. A lot of courthouses may have magistrate's court, general sessions, common pleas, family court, all in one building in a particular county. And for us to be able to have one courthouse designated for family court is wonderful. It was needed because of the growth that we've had here in York County. We now have four courtrooms available in this courthouse, and
you got space for more upstairs.
We still have some unfinished space on the top floor, but we've got space for the clerk of court, the solicitor's office, the public defenders, the judges, the judges' staff, and the courtrooms. Even today, it's been kind of nice. We've had a couple of attorneys come in for some cases this morning. It's the first time they've been there. And it's almost like watching little kids at Christmas, on Christmas morning. Their eyes just light up, and it's like, we finally have a real courthouse. And I do hope that maybe some of the behavior of those who come to court will be a little bit better, because they feel like they're in a real courthouse as opposed to what they were previously walking into.
Well, let me echo that, because there's nothing like the visibility that building makes. I mean, it's a multi-story building, family court written right across the top of it. And when you walk in, you're going to be greeted by a small entourage of sheriff's officers, and you're going to be going through all kinds of security. And trust me, it does work. I tested it out. It went bing, bing, bing on me. So it does work. And you can't help but have the impression that we're here to do some business, and the business is court business and not monkey business by getting into altercations in the hallway. You'd have a very tough time doing that the way the spacing is set up right now.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that, and that's true. Security-wise, it is much safer environment. We really have one entrance and one exit for the public coming in and out. And even the attorneys at this point have to come in through the front. Downstairs in the basement area, there is a detention area that can hold up to about 64, 65 people, I believe.
Right.
And it is nice. It was definitely needed. The other thing that's been nice about this, given our current circumstances with COVID-19, I'm really proud that the county has not closed down the courthouse. We have been open every single day. The clerk of court personnel, sheriff's deputies, they've been there on a rotating or limited basis, but we've had personnel there every day. So the court has continued to function. I think that's important for the public to feel better about the situation they're in when you can look up and know that court is still going on.
Did you ever have a thought, or was there ever any discussion amongst those who are judges in the state, that if this COVID-19 got bad enough, that we might have to do what the county council has done, which is to try to hold hearings via Zoom?
Many in the state are already doing that, and we get varied responses about how effective or not it is. In some places, it tends to work better. I will tell you that last night I watched the recording of the county council Panthers meeting that was done by Zoom. And, you know, given the circumstances, it was okay. But you could not really hold an effective all-day trial through a Zoom like that. If you absolutely had to, you could. But we've been able to avoid most of that.
But I would think, as a judge, a lot of what you do is you're sizing up people as they're standing before you. Yeah, you're listening to their words, but you're kind of also looking into their eyes, trying to figure out, am I getting the right story, am I not getting the right story? And I think a lot of that would be eliminated by the Zoom. I mean, it's one thing to see somebody on a screen. It's another thing to have them standing right in front of you in a courtroom with you wearing a robe, and they know what they're up against.
That's exactly right. I've been doing this for 10 years now, and being able to look at and hear a witness in person makes a big difference. I do want to tell you that with the new courthouse, we have better technology in that each courtroom has a camera that can be moved around. And if we have a place like a juvenile detention center in Columbia and we set it up in advance, then if we have a young man who has a hearing, then we can set it up so that he doesn't have to be transported, and we don't have these risks associated, especially during the virus, with the transportation. We can still have a hearing in which I can see him, hear him. He can hear everyone in court. His attorney can be in court assisting him, and he will have someone on the other end who is at the detention center who's also there with him. But we have conducted some hearings in that regard, and that reduces the dangers of transfer of the virus and the cost of transportation and security personnel. So I'm hoping that one of the results of this virus overall may be that statewide we can get more of these cameras into detention and correction facilities, so there'll be less transportation that's involved.
It's a simple technology these days. Very simple. So did the judges have input into what they wanted to see in a new building? I mean, did you sit down with the architect and say, look, I don't have this, and I don't have this, and I really could use this, and I could really use that?
We did, and thanks to David Hamilton and Lisa Simmons for making sure that we were included. And from the very first time that the plans were started in laying out the initial blueprints, and our input was listened to and responded to, and you can see it in the courthouse we have.
All right. Now, I don't want you to give me a serious answer on this, but this question comes from one of our listeners, and they want to know, do you have a favorite deputy clerk?
A favorite deputy clerk? Well, let me put it this way. I have lots of work wives, and they are very effective, efficient, responsive, competent work wives, and it has always been a pleasure to make sure that I keep them satisfied as they assist me. How's that for a political answer?
Well, now, if you were to ask me, right, would you like to ask me that question? Ask me who my favorite deputy clerk is.
Who's your favorite deputy clerk?
Lisa Simmons.
Of course.
You know. She is just the bomb. And I tell you what, I don't think there's anybody who is looking forward more to the new family court building than Lisa Simmons. I mean, you may have been tied, but she, whew, at least you had a place you could sit down where she was worse than that.
Well, her hard work has been rewarded. She has a wonderful office now with a lot more space and just beautiful. And the clerk's office itself, if you got to see the old clerk's office and how crowded they were in their little cubicles, and now most of them have their own offices, much more space. We got a lot more space for keeping the file records. We got protective areas. Again, Manning, the way that this was built, for instance, with the clerk of courts, in the areas where they are dealing with the public, for instance, collecting some child support, they have one of these windows in front of them. That was part of the design already. So we already had certain things there that helped us go forward even during the virus without having to shut down.
And for those who've never been to a court building like this, yes, you have the courtrooms and you got the judges and you got the plaintiffs and you got the defendants, you got all that stuff going on. But there's a small army of people behind all of that that's making all this thing work. I mean, they're the ones that are juggling the papers, setting the schedules, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what we're referring to.
Right.
Okay. With that, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, we hang out here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week. Right before your eyes, you just come on in, grab your sandwich, and get out of here because you can't dine in yet. But maybe that change is coming. And why do they keep coming here? Even the judge knows. He's going to help me say it. 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden, garden, garden,
garden, garden. He's got it back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
How's this for March Madness? As the world changes, so is our service to our friends at Substation 2. Effective immediately, whether you call in, fax, or order online at mysubstation2.com, we'll bring your order out to your car, or you can stay at home for home delivery. Isn't a great supper salad from Substation 2 just what you need at a time like this?
These days, there are plenty of ways to stay connected to the internet. Laptops, phones, tablets, games, you name it. But the more devices you use in your home, the tougher it is to get a strong, consistent Wi-Fi signal. Comporium's premium Wi-Fi kit adds multiple Wi-Fi access points throughout your home, eliminating dead zones and interference, while spreading your signal more evenly so you can enjoy a better online experience. Right now, get our premium Wi-Fi for only $9.99 per month. Premium Wi-Fi from Comporium. Connect your whole home.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Our lives have changed tremendously lately. Founders Federal Credit Union wants you to know we are here for you. While our world right now may be uncertain, your money at Founders is not. Founders Federal Credit Union is fully backed by the NCUA, and Founders members have many ways to access their money at Founders. Our drive-thrus remain open, many with extended hours. Our ATMs are fully serviced. Founders Online and the Founders app are available to you 24/7. Relax. We are your credit union, and we are here for you. Not a member of Founders? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to apply for membership.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
How's this for March Madness? As the world changes, so is our service to our friends at Substation 2. Effective immediately, whether you call in, fax, or order online at mysubstation2.com, we'll bring your order out to your car, or you can stay at home for home delivery. Isn't a great supper salad from Substation 2 just what you need at a time like this?
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. His Honor, Judge David Guyton from Family Court is with us today. And we're spending a lot of time drooling over the brand new, plush but not overly ostentatious, Family Court building in York County, which just opened a month or so ago. And not only a couple of days after it opened, they closed it down because of all the COVID-19. But the court has continued, and now they're back to a basically normal operating schedule, which we've been through. In the course of, I don't know, well, a month or a year, David, how many family court cases are you and your fellow judges hearing? All of them together.
In a month, if we're talking two judges, 4 weeks, anywhere from potentially 200 to 250 cases.
Oh my God. I won't say anything more. I mean, it's no wonder you need a courtroom that big. And with the population growing, this problem is going to not go away. Okay, one of the things, a couple of things about any time you go from an old building to a new building, my guess is you had oodles and oodles and oodles of paperwork buried somewhere, whether it was in the old double-wide trailer, or whether it was housed off-site. Did you have to? Is that all been moved in, or has anybody scanned that and digitized it, or what do you do with all the paper?
Well, I think the county was already in a process of being able to scan some of that, but that is a slow process, and that was a huge part of the move, and certainly a shout-out to Lisa Simmons and her staff for making that move smoothly, because that's extremely important. The good thing, Manning, for us, for a lot of reasons, was the close proximity in the move from the old courthouse to the new courthouse. So literally on a given afternoon, a moving truck pulls up with personnel, and they are pulling those files out of the clerk of court's office and put them in that trailer, and then moving them to the new office with a much bigger room for those files. But you've got to remember, you've got to keep those in the right order. You've got to be very protective of those in making the trip over to the courthouse. That was a huge job, but it was well coordinated and well carried out.
And we're not talking about a year or two's worth of files. We're talking about decades of files.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine.
And most of that was, we had a couple of different spots that the move was made from. It wasn't just all at the old courthouse. So there were some that are even older that were in a separate building.
I noticed also when I got the Lisa Simmons tour of the building that there was a large meeting room. I mean, like a great big conference room. Really nice. What is that for?
That is called the Jones Garden Assembly Room. And it is named, or was named, in memory of Judge Tony M. Jones, who died last year from pancreatic cancer. And it was a short time from the diagnosis to his passing. And I'm just thrilled that the county was willing to first have this space available, but then second to name it in his memory. It's made a huge difference already. It can hold 87 people. There's several large monitors there so that that space can be used for training for CLEs, potentially for attorneys and others. They've got small tables on wheels, which will allow a reconfiguration as needed within the room, so it can be multi-purpose. And it's already come in handy as this past Monday with a DSS docket. And we have larger numbers of people, but with staggered times and using that space, we could get them in and out safely. And then if a case needed to come up to the courtroom, we could go from there. We could not have done that in the old courthouse.
Isn't that something? When you look at this project, now that it's done, is there anything missing?
Not that I can think of right away. We're still like kids in a candy shop right now. And hopefully this doesn't offend anybody, but at this point, I've said many times, this is like moving from literally a trailer into a palace.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the difference. But it's not just the aesthetics. It is the security and the practicality of what we've been able to do, and the technology as well.
Well, they did a good job. I'm glad to hear that they had the input from the judges, and I'm sure you now must be getting some calls from your peers across the state of South Carolina, say, can I come up and try a case, or can I come up and see what you got? Because I'd sure like to see if we could get something like this down where we are.
Well, interestingly enough, just in the last couple of days, we have a new judges' school that's coming up in June, and it is normally done in Columbia in a particular building, the Calhoun building, in one of the conference rooms. And we understand that that conference room's not going to be big enough to accommodate social distancing. And so we've been able to offer the potential use of the Jones Garden Assembly Room for new judge training in just, I think, 3 or 4 weeks from now. And they are interested in being able to use that.
That'd be interesting. Very interesting. Speaking of judges, how are we with judges? Are we, I don't follow this too closely, but do we have openings, or is there a slot open? Has one been filled? Tell me.
That's a difficult situation because Judge Jones served in an at-large family court seat capacity.
Right.
It means that I am the only resident judge in York County. Judge White is a resident judge for Union County. When he was elected as an at-large judge, it opened up for him to, for his replacement, is statewide. And that's a whole nother story, but we were not able to get someone from York County elected. And so right now I'm the only judge in York County for family court. Now, Wes Clymer, Tommy Pope, and Gary Simmel are working on legislation to get another residency for York County. And that was on track prior to COVID-19.
Judge David Guyton, thanks for all that you do. I'm very happy to see that we have some adequate facilities, better than adequate facilities. And the only thing you need to make that thing work better is to get Lisa Simmons back in that building. Don't you think so?
Hopefully we'll do that really quick.
All right. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2. Jerry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And, of course, we hang out here at Substation 2. Sherry Road across from Winthrop, fresh subs and salads 7 days a week. Let's tell them one more time, Your Honor, how it's done. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden. There you go. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.